Listening to the hour of the time.
Did you hear that lonesome whisper wind? It sounds too good to find. The midnight train is I'm so lonesome I could cry. Did you ever see a night so long when time goes cold? The moon just went behind the clouds, and I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Well, folks, we've got quite a show for you tonight. So sit back, relax, make sure you have your usual pencil and paper beside you. And we're going to be talking to someone who has an extremely interesting story to tell us. Now, as always, I'm going to give you my standard admonition. The show is brought to you for informational and educational purposes. Something is going on. We don't know what it is. We need to find out. We need to get everybody interested in what is happening. And you cannot believe what you're going to hear on this show, on the Tom Valentine Show, on the Chuck Carter Show, from Rush, the man who's sitting on half his brain, I think, from Dan Rather, from the President of the United States, or indeed from your own mother. The deception being promulgated in the world today to bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government is deep. So, we believe that people are being either abducted and played with, their minds. A lot of people think that this is an extraterrestrial thing. Our guest today has a different perspective to put on this, and it's something that I've warned about for quite a long time, that it may not be extraterrestrial at all. It may be a human program. We don't know, but we're going to examine it. We're going to look at it, and as always, the only radio show that you're ever going to hear this on is this one, The Hour of the Time. So sit back and listen, open your minds, open your ears, and I'd like to introduce you to a very pretty woman named Diane, who is going to give us a little bit of her history and tell us what makes her different from most of you out there that are listening. Diane, welcome to The Hour of the Time.
Thank you. It's nice being here.
Can you tell us who you are?
Well, I'm just an average person. I have four children. I have nine grandchildren. I have three of my grandchildren that live with me, and I take care of a lot. And I'm just an average person.
Where were you raised, Diane?
I was born and raised in the Victorville area in the high desert. I still live there.
Remember, this is worldwide. Where's Victorville?
Okay, Victorville is in Southern California. It's in the high desert of Southern California. We're what they call the high desert.
Okay.
There's Victorville, Barstow. You pass by us going on the way to Vegas.
So you've lived there all your life.
I've lived there all my life.
Went to school there.
Went to school there. My kids went to school there.
Isn't it true that this is a very interesting area of the high desert? What's there besides just Victorville and the other towns?
Okay, for one thing, there is an Air Force base, which they just recently closed, George Air Force Base. And we're sitting not too far from the Palmdale-Lancaster area, which is Edwards Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just a little community up there. And
then there's the 29 Palms.
The 29 Palms.
Not too far from these installations is the China Lake installation.
Right. Ridgecrest isn't too far from us, which is at the China Lake Naval Weapons Center. Now, in 1970, I did move to Ridgecrest, which still is in the high desert, but it's sitting right on the outskirts of Death Valley.
Mm-hmm. But what makes this very unusual is that all of these installations, even George that is closed, was heavily involved in some of the most super secret projects that have ever been carried on in the borders of the United States. Is that correct?
That's correct.
When did you first realize that something had happened to you in your life that needed a little bit more examination than what you had previously given it?
Well, I'll tell you, in 1972, I had seen a grave standing in my yard one night. I've told people this for over 20 years.
By grave, what does this mean?
An alien.
Mexican? Canadian?
No. he's at first I didn't know what he was. I thought it was just a man in my yard. And I was going to the grocery store one night, and I walked out to my car, and it was dark, and he was in my yard. He was just standing there looking around at the ground and at bushes and stuff. I've told hundreds of people about this over the last 20 years. I have a lot of conscious memory of a lot of things that's happened to me, and I've told people for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as usual, when you tell people about things like this, they kind of raise their eyebrows at you or kind of frown at you, and they think you're crazy. But all I could do was just tell people what I'd seen.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened to me.
So that's your first experience?
No, the first experience that I was like when I was 8 years old. There was a woman in my bedroom.
But you didn't remember that until years
yes,
later.
Yes, I did remember it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I told my parents about the woman in my room the next morning, and they didn't believe me. They told me I was dreaming. And I said, no, I wasn't. I said, there was a woman in my bedroom. And I always called her the Lady in Purple.
What did she look like, Diane?
She was tall, close to 6 feet tall. She had long black hair.
Go ahead.
She had blue eyes, and her skin was real pale. It's like she hadn't been out in the sun very much.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a long purple dress or an outfit that she had on. But the one thing that I noticed that she had on her dress was there was a red patch, and it was like a half-coiled snake on this. On the patch, and the head was turned sideways, and the tongue was sticking out of it.
Of the emblem, not the woman.
Of the emblem, right.
Yeah.
I was taken to an underground facility at George Air Force Base when I was 8 years old.
Was this the conjunction with this woman who came into your
bedroom? Right, she was the one that took me there. And I seen children in glass boxes, and they tried to put me in a glass box.
And what happened?
Well, at some point, I had gotten away from them, and this was probably in 1957, 58, and they were probably just getting started with some of the underground facilities at that time, so this here was more like a bunker. It's the only thing I can describe it as. It even had the raw cement blocks in it. It was two rooms, and it was just barely underground. There was a large cement. At first, I thought it was like a water drainage ditch, but it wasn't. I guess it was an air vent, and it went up to the outside. But this facility was just right under the ground. It wasn't very deep, and I had climbed up through this air vent and went out running through the desert, and they chased me down. And this woman chased me down, and she caught me, and we had a struggle because I didn't want to go back down in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I fought, and I kicked, and I scratched, and I screamed, and I cried, and she... Naturally, with her being larger than me, she dragged me back down in there.
And now, was she human?
She looked human.
And she came in your house and took you to Georgia Air Force. Where were your parents at this time?
In the house, sleeping.
And they didn't even know, oh, this was at night?
This was at night.
So they didn't wake up. They didn't know that this had happened.
No.
Now, I've got to ask you some questions because I know that my listeners out there are thinking of these things in their own minds. And if they were here, they would ask you this.
Right.
How do you know that this actually really took place in reality and not in your mind? Not that you're, I'm not insinuating that you may be crazy or insane or anything else, but we know from our investigations that there are mind control programs and technology has been perfected to the state where they can do these kinds of things. They can make you believe something happened that really, in fact, did not.
Sure, absolutely. The only thing I can say about this is that, first of all, I've never read and I've never seen anything that has to do with any of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know. I've talked to a couple of other abductees, but I don't even know their stories.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing about anybody. I've been kept in the dark about all this because of the people that I'm working with. They want my memory to be pure. And so I don't even know if anybody else has had any other experiences like my own. All I know is just, I've met a couple of abductees, but most of theirs have to do with aliens.
Mm-hmm. Most of yours has to do with humans.
With humans.
That's why I wanted you to be a guest on the show, because you are not the typical abductee. And but you were taken by this woman to a facility that's just slightly under the ground at George Air Force Base, which is a theme that comes up all the time about these underground installations. And what happened to you once you escaped and then they brought you back?
She dragged me back down in this air vent, and I'm on the floor, and she's trying to get me into this box. There are 5 glass boxes. They're upright. And 4 of the boxes were other children, and they looked like they ranged in age of 4 to 10 years old. There was a couple of boys, and the rest were girls. On the other side of the room, there was like a computer panel, and there was like these black hoses on the tops of these glass boxes that ran around the room into the control panels. And there was a couple of men there, like monitoring everything, and there was TV screens set in them. There was another door that led into another room. I think this facility only had 2 rooms. And I'm screaming and I'm kicking at this box, and I'm telling this woman I'm going to break it because I wasn't going to go in it. And she really had her hands full, and I'm screaming and I'm crying. And the next thing I know, I seen a gray or an alien come from this other room. And he acted like he was very angry. And I heard him tell her, not vocally, but mentally, to get me into the box.
So you're listening, but not with your ears, and you're hearing this, whatever it was,
right,
tell this woman to put you in the box.
Right. But she answers him back vocally.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him, she says, I'm trying to get her in there. And I heard him say, get her in there. And for some reason, it seemed like the screaming and the loud noises I was making was really getting on his nerves. Well, finally, after wrestling with me forever, I heard him tell her, he says, forget it. He says, take her back because we can't control her.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew at that point I was going home.
So did you?
I went home.
And then what happened?
That's when I remembered the woman actually being in the room. And she told me, she says, I'll be back.
So, now let me see if I've got this now. You were in the house at night.
Right.
And they took you out to this underground installation, and these things that you've just described happened.
Right.
And then they took you back. And then that's when you remember
seeing... That's when I actually remember seeing the woman. Was after she brought me back.
Okay, so you don't really know how you got there.
I don't know how I got there.
Okay. Then what happened?
Well,
did you tell your parents about this?
I told my parents about it the next morning, and they didn't believe me.
Are they still living?
No. Both my parents are just...
Did they ever discuss this with anyone else?
No. I've told lots of people about the woman in purple, because that's what I called her. I didn't know what her name was. I didn't know who she was. And so I just associated her with the dress she had on. I always called her the lady in purple. And I've told hundreds of people since I was 8 years old about this.
Really, since you were 8 years old.
Right.
So it's long before all these other
right
things started happening. Actually, nobody started coming out and talking about abduction experiences until Betty and Barney Hill, back in the, I believe it was the late 60s. But you were talking about this before then to people.
Right.
Okay.
I kept calling it a bunker because I didn't know what to call it. I thought it was a bunker.
So there's people in the Victorville area now, or where you live, that remember you telling them about this when you were small?
Probably some of my friends over the years that I'm still friends with that I've told to.
Because I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of listeners out there, and some of them are in the Victorville in that area, and they're going to be out there asking. I know my listeners because I stimulate them to action, and they're going to be checking all this out. And I think they're going to find some incredible things. I think they're probably going to find that you're telling the truth here, at least as far as you perceive it, and that they're going to find that you have told people this. Okay, then what happened then? How long was it before you had another experience?
I had another experience with when I was about 8 years old, being taken by Grace.
Uh-huh.
But these are the little guys. These were about 3 feet tall, and they came to my bedroom window and woke me up. They never came into my house, but they woke me up, and I heard them calling my name. And I woke up, and I sit up on my elbows, and I was looking. I could see the bedroom window, and they were telling me to come outside and play with them. And so I got up out of bed, and I went outside, and I played with them. And we had a brick wall around our house, and out behind our house is nothing but just open desert. So they wanted to take me for a ride on their plane, and I go, all right, let's go. So we kind of like sailed up over the brick wall and went out behind in the desert there, out behind the house, and climbed on board this craft. And I blacked out, and then when I came to, they had me laying down on this craft. Now, these guys were about 3 feet tall. They had on jackets, and they had on, like, red sashes. Some of them had on white ones, and some of them had on red ones. Now, the one thing that I noticed about these guys is that they had the same patches, the same emblem on
the serpent.
With the serpent as the woman did.
You know the serpent? You know the significance of the serpent in history?
No.
Well, all throughout history, the serpent has been used as a symbol of wisdom. And that comes from the experience in the Garden of Eden. In the mystery religions, which we've done over 15 hours on this show about the significance of the symbology of the mystery religions of the ancients, was that they believed that man was held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by God, and that he was set free by Satan, the snake, with the gift of intellect, the use of which man will become God. And this has gone up to the present day. It's called the Luciferian philosophy. It's in the humanist religion. And all throughout history, the symbol of wisdom was the snake. If you'll notice in the old Egyptian hieroglyphics, that you'll see a lot of people with a snake on their forehead, the cobra. Well, that was the symbol of the priesthood, who were the keepers of the knowledge, the guardians of the secrets of the ages, if you will. So this snake emblem is not something new. It just didn't pop into the world yesterday. This is something that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. So these people were wearing the same emblem that you saw on this woman's gown.
Yes.
And she was human, and they are apparently, you perceive them to be extraterrestrial.
Right. And okay. They were real small, almost childlike. But once they got me on a craft, there was a machine that it was like a light. It kind of reminds me of like a big spiral type light. And they brought it down and put it over my stomach, and I started crying. These guys moved real fast. It's like they were doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, or they were going to get caught doing this. And it was like, hurry, 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 let's hurry up and get this done, you know, because we don't have much time. And I started crying, and I told them I wanted to go home. And it's like they didn't even listen to me, and they brought this light down over my stomach, and it hurt. I felt like it was like a big vacuum cleaner. It was like, I don't know if this is going to sound strange or not, but it's like I felt like they were trying to suck my soul out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I blacked out.
So you don't really know what happened beyond that point. When did you wake up? Were you still there?
No, I wasn't there.
Where were you?
Back home.
Now, for those of you out there listening who think that this might be some weird story being told here, this story is being told by people all over the world. not just by Diane. We're not using her last name so that she's not going to be inundated with a whole bunch of people bothering her and butting into her private life. But there are people actively investigating her story, as there are thousands of other people who have come forward with this. But she's talking about extraterrestrials now, but what I'm interested in is getting to the part where humans are involved. And let me tell you, that's where this story differs from most folks, because in most stories there are no humans. In some there have been, but very few. And it's usually, they usually describe an extraterrestrial species abducting them, taking them up in a ship, cleaning them, undressing them, giving them all kinds of examinations, and they see all kinds of symbology which they describe, and sometimes they're operated upon, and sometimes this involves very strange things of a sexual nature, but it's very seldom that you ever find someone who has had an experience along these lines involving humans or military personnel or doctors or whatever they happen to be. And when they do, it's in some cases where the person under hypnosis is recalling what happened, and then all of a sudden the alien standing there sort of becomes a human, and we don't know really what this means. Maybe it is mind control, and maybe it's not working in some cases. Or maybe we don't know. Anything is conjecture. So let's go beyond this experience and let's talk about the times when you were involved with humans doing something to you, which we know all of this is highly illegal. If you wanted to get down to the legality, you could call the sheriff and a lot of people would be in jail if you could find these people. What happened? Did this take place later in your life with humans?
With the humans. Now, under hypnosis, I have undergone hypnosis probably about a half a dozen times. It seemed like it opened Pandora's box for me, and I started remembering through flashbacks and through conscious memory, which to this day I'm still remembering things. But in 1970, I moved to Ridgecrest with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I was married and I had children. I can remember what I didn't undergo hypnosis when I remembered this, because I remembered it the next day when I lived there. But I had two Navy men in a Jeep come to my house one night. Now, my ex-husband worked for the phone company, and he still does. But at that time, they were sending him up north to go to Manteca to go to school. So the kids and myself was at home by ourselves. We'd be there for 2 to 4 weeks at a time by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the times that they came and got me, was when he was gone.
Were these officers, enlisted men?
I don't know.
How do you know they were Navy?
They had on white uniforms, Navy.
Navy uniforms.
The only thing that they didn't have on their uniform, there was no name tags, there was no stripes, there was nothing. But being, you know, living in a Navy town, you get used to seeing Navy uniforms. I assume they were Navy police. But there was two of them, and I seen the headlights of the Jeep. I went outside, and I told them, I said, I'm not going with you guys. And it was like...
What did they originally say to you? I mean, what is the first thing that they said to you?
They didn't say anything to me.
They didn't say anything? Why would you assume that they came there to get you?
I don't know. It makes me think that I've been with them before.
Uh-huh.
But I can remember this incident consciously.
Okay.
And I went outside and I seen them, and it was like I recognized them.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I said, I'm not going with you guys. And the one guy says, oh yes you are, get in the Jeep. And I says, oh no, I'm not going. And the guy says, get in the Jeep. And I said, no. And so these two big guys just come over and just bodily picked me up and lowered me in the back of this Jeep. They shoved me down on the back seat and they covered me up with a blanket, and he told me to stay there. He said, don't move. So I thought, okay, so I won't move, because these guys were a little forceful. So we take off and we go. Once we got on the base, I can remember how we got into the underground facility. We went to our hangar, and by then I was sitting up.
Uh-huh.
I had sit up just right before we came to the hangar. And as we went in, this hangar is like in two areas. Now, first of all, this hangar is a little different than like a lot of your hangers. For, I don't know anything about military stuff, but this hangar is dome shaped and it's very large. I get the impression the top of it can open.
Okay.
There's windows up high on it. When we come in on the right side of this hangar, we're almost even eye level with the floor because the floor starts to slope down like this. I see men working in the road that we came in on. There was like a forklift or a big petty bone. There was men working in there. They had on, some of them had on green uniforms. There was a couple of them that had on camouflage uniforms. They stopped working when we drove in, and they like, you know, looked at us like, what's this girl doing here, you know? And
well, it's a normal reaction when a pretty girl drives in a Jeep into a military installation.
Well, the two guys that was with me in the Jeep, I heard one of them.
By the way, folks, for you young guys out there contemplating going in the Navy, this is not the proper way to pick up a young lady. Remember that.
But I heard one guy tell the other one, he goes, I don't know why they make us do this, you know?
Uh-huh.
And they wouldn't talk to me or anything, but I was just sitting there, and I'm kind of taking everything in. I do remember some of the stuff that they were moving on this forklift or this teddy bone. There was boxes, there was wood crates, and they had small bombs in them like you'd put on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they were
shaped like bombs?
Shaped like bombs. They were white, and they were probably about this long.
For the listeners, that's about maybe 2.5 feet, 2 feet, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, and they were moving them around in boxes.
Okay, and then what happened?
So we went in deeper to the underground facility, it was like the hallway narrowed. And we came into like an open room. In this room, you know, I thought back and I can't imagine what these guys are doing. I think it's part of their mind control, their little games that they play. But there was a table, a long table set up in there, and there were men sitting behind these tables, and they were dressed in uniforms. One guy had on, he was a big guy, and he looked like he weighed pretty close to 400 pounds. And he had on this brown uniform, which I thought was maybe Army or something, but I thought, this guy looks like he's something out of World War II B-movie,
mm-hmm.
you know? The uniform didn't fit right and stuff, and he just didn't strike me as being military. So we stop, we get out of the Jeep, and he stands up, and he comes over to me. And I can't remember what name he gave me, but he says, hi, he says, I'm General so-and-so. Well, I've got really a sense of humor about things, and I cracked up laughing. I start laughing at this guy, which made him mad. I mean, it kind of ticked him off a little bit.
Well, I can see how that would make a general mad.
Yeah, and I looked at him.
Somebody wanted you to believe was a general.
Yeah, yes. And I looked at him, I go, no, man, I said, you know more of a general than I am. And that really made him mad. He says, get her out of here. So we loaded back up on a Jeep. And after that point, I don't know where we went after that, on that one incident.
But what happened? Do you remember anything that happened?
I don't remember anything after that. I don't know. I know we kept going, but I don't remember
uh-huh.
on what else. But the next morning when I got up, I thought, those two guys in that Jeep was out there last night. We had just bought this house, and we had no landscaping, and it was just hard dirt and gravel and stuff. And I went out there to where their Jeep was because I knew no one would believe me. And I looked and checked around for tire marks and stuff like that. I even went as far as pulling my car over there to see if it leaked tire marks,
mm-hmm.
which it didn't because of the gravel and stuff. But I told a lot of people about that, too, over the years. And
you have no idea what happened. You know.
I don't have any idea on that particular incident.
Okay. Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
How old were you in this?
I was probably about 22, 23 years old.
Okay.
Now, under hypnosis, I've remembered some things, and consciously I've remembered things, so, you know, over the years. I remember one incident. I was in a room. This room is very large. It's almost cave-like. It looks like it's been bored out with something. You can see rocks coming out, small rocks. They cemented in between the rocks, and then they painted. Everything's kind of like a grayish color. The floors are gray. It's cement, but they've cemented in between the rocks, and they mm-hmm. painted over it. I'm in this large room. There's humans it's humans in there. They're walking around. I see a golf cart with two military men drive up and stop. They get out and they're walking around. There's men in white lab jackets moving around. There's two men standing not too far from me that I know that they're working with me for whatever reason.
Okay, hold that thought because we've got to take a break. Folks, don't go away. Stay right where you're at. We'll be back right after this very short pause. And it wasn't. You were in the middle of explaining the next episode in your life with these experiences. Can you continue for us, Diane?
Sure. I remember a couple of men telling me what they wanted to use me for. They said that everybody on the face of the earth has a certain chemical in their brain that has to deal with the paranormal. At the beginning of time when before man evolved to what they are now, their way of communicating was telepathically, guttural sounds, that sort of stuff. We had ESP powers. People still have this chemical in their brain, they said, but some people have it more than others. And they said in my position that I had it more than most people. And what they were going to, they said I had the ability to do this stuff, and what they were going to do to me was teach me how to train it, or teach me how to use it and fine-tune it, and they were going to train me on how to use it. And
these are humans telling you.
These are humans doing this. Well, I told them I didn't want to do this. They wanted to teach me, they wanted to train me for spying, remote viewing, out-of-body experiences, mind scanning, memory scanning, that sort of stuff.
And now, we know through our own research that these programs did exist, and they did. In fact, all of the different branches of the intelligence community and all of the different branches of the military experimented with remote viewing, with psychic powers, with the paranormal, with trying to read somebody else's mind, and all of this was directed toward better and better espionage, mind control, brainwashing techniques, and etc. So this is Arizona time. What happened there, folks, is Diane has to be at an appointment at 5 o'clock or so, and she saw my watch, which is, I've never changed from Arizona time, and she thought that she was 20 minutes late and almost had a panic attack. So everything's fine now. You can continue.
Okay. Well, after they told me what they wanted to use me for, they said they wanted to use me for spying on our government, on heads of state, other countries.
Were you a part of an organized group? Did this group have a name? There were other people like you. Is that correct?
The only time I ever seen anybody else that they were doing any experiments on was during an MRI.
Okay, but so you don't really know if there were anybody else.
I don't know if there's anybody else.
Did you know if this group that you were connected with had a name?
I don't know. I don't remember them ever telling me any names.
Okay.
But I'll tell you one thing. I noticed that a lot of them always, they wouldn't talk to me face to face. They'd always turn to the side or they'd keep their back to me.
Why?
I think it was because at that time Ridgecrest was a small community, and I think these people lived there, and I think they were afraid I'd recognize them.
Were you ever able to recognize any of them?
There's been times when I've gone up to people, and you know how you do it, it's like you see someone, you think, I know this person, but I can't place where I've seen him before.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those type of things.
Okay. So how was this training conducted? I mean, what did they do? Did they
used drugs. They used hypnosis. When you didn't want to go along with the program, they used torture.
What kind of torture?
They've done shock treatments on me.
Shock treatments, can you explain that?
They hook you up to it. They put me on a gurney or a table, and they wheel me into this room because I told them I didn't want to work with them and I didn't want to do it. I felt like it was immorally wrong.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't want to do it. And I tried to fight them the whole way. But they hooked me up to wires, and they would give me shock treatments.
Where were these wires? How did this work?
They would just hook on the body.
Specific points? Was this a regular machine like they use on mental patients? Or?
Something like that, but they didn't. It wasn't as much voltage.
Okay.
It did render me unconscious, but it made me very submissive.
got your attention.
It got my attention real quick.
We're laughing, but it's not funny. These are well-known techniques used to make people conform to something that somebody else wants done, especially in the intelligence community. I witnessed this on North Vietnamese prisoners in Vietnam. But this isn't North Vietnam. This isn't South Vietnam. This is the United States of America. It's not wartime, and this is the United States citizen that we're talking to, a citizen of the state of California. And she claims that she's been abducted by humans, taken to military installations, and forced to participate in programs, and if she didn't go along with it, that she was tortured. Now, again, folks, I don't know if this is really true or not. I can tell you that there have been many people who have told these kinds of stories. In her case, it's quite a bit different because most people don't remember seeing or being with humans in these abduction scenarios. Her case is very rare because it involves not only extraterrestrials, but humans abducting her and playing around with her mind and taking her places, kidnapping, if you will, and forcing her to do things that she was not asked to do, and certainly, probably, I would guess, is this true, you would not have consented to do any of these things, had they?
Probably not. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, I look at it this way. If they'd come up and asked me if I wanted to, I might have done it. But they took me against my will, and then because I didn't want to do it, then they have to do this stuff to me. But then, to take it even a little further, they had the intimidation factor. They showed, after they figured that maybe the shock treatment didn't work all that well, because I still got a little nasty with them, they intimidated me and they showed me human experiments. I've seen human experiments and I've seen animal experiments.
By experiments, what do you mean?
I've seen people in cages at the underground facility. They're trying, like, they took me into this room.
You specifically named a location. China Lake, they have underground facilities where human beings are in cages.
Right.
And what are they doing with these people?
Okay, these people, there was about 15 to 20 cages, and there were humans in all of them. The man told me that he kept his back to me the whole time, and he's giving me a little tour of the facility there, and he tells me, he says, well, I just want to show you this. He says, because we're not going to be doing this to you, because we're going to be using you for something else, but, you know, maybe we could do this to you, you know, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
He told me not to go up to the cages, don't talk to any of the people in the cages, and stay away from them. There was a lot of screaming and crying. There was men and women in them. Some of them were screaming, begging me to help them get out of there. I felt really bad. And I seen a man, the first man I seen had like an extra pair of arms sewn onto his body at the waist area. I seen another man sitting on the floor. Now, most of them had on, like, the men had on boxer shorts, and the women had on, like, hospital gowns, the white hospital gowns. And I seen another man sitting on the bottom of his cage with his head down, and he might have been unconscious, I don't know, but he was sitting up with his legs crossed, and he didn't have an ounce of hair on his body. I've seen a woman that had big open sores on her arms, and her face was like brown and white, splotchy looking, and she was doing a lot of screaming and crying and begging me to get her out of it. And I just couldn't look at the rest of them because it was just too horrible.
Now, other people have described the same scenario. I don't know if you're aware of that. Are you aware of that?
No.
Other people have described exactly what you have just described to me. It's documented. It's in books. It's in papers. But when they were shown these things, or when they saw these things, they were in an environment that was totally controlled by, they claim, extraterrestrials. Now, could it be that human beings are performing these experiments and are using some kind of mind control to make people believe that extraterrestrials are doing this so that they'll be ridiculed and nobody will pay any attention to it?
It could be. But I'll tell you, now, I did see aliens at the underground facility at Tunnel Lake.
So you saw...
I've seen aliens, too. I've seen three different species of them now.
And let me reiterate again, you're not talking about Canadians or Mexicans.
No.
You're talking
no.
about somebody purportedly from some other right. planet somewhere out in space who are here, I guess, if this all turns out to be true, which nobody really knows at this time, what's true or false about any of this. All we know is that there's a lot of people telling these same stories, and we know that they really believe what they're saying, which means that their mind has either been messed with and they're made to believe this, or it really happened. That's what I get out of it.
Okay, now let me tell you something about this particular incident. I talked to a gentleman over in the Lancaster area that during the 1970s he worked construction at the underground facility at China Lake.
Uh-huh.
He's seen things at the underground facility. He had a friend of his that was, like you might call, one of the doctors there or whatever, that told him. In fact, I hadn't even told him about what I'd seen about the people in the cages. He was telling me what was going on there.
Uh-huh.
And I already had this documented. I had a good friend of mine from Victorville that, you know, she's been working with me for quite a while. And when he started telling us about this, her mouth just kind of dropped open, because he verified the people in the underground facility. And I asked him, I said, what they do to these people in the cages? He said, as far as he knew of, they weren't doing that type of experiment at China Lake anymore. And he said, eventually they killed all the people off in the cages.
This man really told you that?
He told me that.
Hmm.
And he worked at the underground facility.
Yeah, okay. Now, is there any possibility that when you saw these people in these cages that this was some kind of a staged event to make you believe?
It could have been, but if you'd seen the woman's arms,
uh-huh.
you know, I mean, these were big open sores on her arms. I think what they were doing with these people was some kind of biological warfare testing, I think is what they were doing there.
Well, we know they've done that before, not just on people in cages, but they've sprayed these things on whole populations. I mean, it's documented, it's in the public record, that certainly we have people in these secret agencies who are capable of doing this kind of thing, and whether they have or not is another matter. But this is extremely interesting. For all of you out there who think that you shouldn't pay any attention to this, I'm going to tell you once again that something is going on. We don't know exactly what. If someone has played with this young woman's mind, if someone is playing with a lot of other people's minds, and even if they're not telling what really happened, they're telling what they believe happened, this is serious. If what the story that they're telling us is something that's really happening, it's also serious. There is no, and if we have that many, and I mean there's an awful lot of people around the world, not just in the United States, most of them I believe in the United States, but around the world who claim to have been abducted by extraterrestrials. Some have seen humans in this scenario. This is the first story I've heard where there's been a majority of humans involved in this. Even if all of these people are absolutely insane, we need to pay attention to this, because they're all telling the same story. And I'm telling you this folks, I know that you cannot find people in different places over the world who tell the same stories who don't know each other. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Now, you could say that they're all reading the same books or something like that, and in this case, I don't believe that that's happened. And in most of the cases, for instance, in South America, when you find a peasant that can't even read that tells the same story, then there's something going on. In primitive cultures, such as New Guinea, when you find a naked savage who comes out of the forest and tells you that he saw a UFO and little guys took him up in a spaceship, this is serious. And this is what is happening, and it's happening all over the world. So we need to listen. We don't have to believe everything we're hearing, but we better pay some attention to this, because something is happening. And whatever is happening is ultimately going to affect all of us in some way or another. Now, you've heard my ideas and theories on all of this before, and you've heard how other people have been through these kinds of situations. And here in San Diego at the Lafayette Hotel, you've heard a series of shows, all of these people talking about basically the same thing. Now, I can assure you, I'm here looking them in the eyes, and they're not crazy. At least the majority. There are some Looney Tunes running around here, I can assure you of that. People with pyramids on their heads and other things that we won't get into. Diane, how has this affected your life? What has this done to you?
I think it's made me a little stronger person. One thing that I haven't let this do is consume me. I have other outside interests other than this. I've always wanted to know why they've done this to me. Not only was I taken, but my three children were taken when they were small. I don't think that anybody has the right to come into your house and take you against your will and experiment on you. As an adult, I can fight back to a point that small children can't. I just want a stop put to it.
This is happening to children, isn't
it? This is happening to children. In fact, I've talked to different people about children in boxes and glass boxes and stuff like that.
Did you meet Alex, the little boy that's here?
No.
Who's telling, frankly, just about the same story, only he didn't see people in cages and they weren't human, but they were extraterrestrial, he claims. And he's just a little boy. I mean, he can't be any older than maybe 8 or 9, 10 years old.
Well, I've had a couple of people tell me that they know people that has worked in these underground facilities that worked on children in boxes, in these glass boxes. I had one man tell me that he knows of a guy out of Canada that eventually he got out of this black project because it got to be a little bit too much for him. But he said they worked extensively on 8-year-olds. And
what's the purpose of that?
I don't know. Some of these children, they murder. They keep and train them, or they just experiment on them and stuff. A lot of your children that's on milk cartons, they're not actually just missing kids. Our government is going in and taking kids off the streets and taking this. I had an attorney.
Let's wait just a moment, folks. Let's back up here just a little. I can assure you it's not our legally constitutional government that's doing this. If this is really happening, then this is secret agencies in the government that are buffered by the veil of national security, black projects, layers and layers of security clearances, and are rogue, going crazy doing this stuff on their own. And if it's happening, if that's really where a lot of the missing children are going, that's even another reason why we have to get to the bottom of this. Again, I don't know, but the fact that there's so many people coming forward telling these stories means that we better find out what the reality of it is and what the purpose of it all is. I'm sorry, Diane. Go ahead and continue. I just didn't want people to think that the real government's turned against them.
Right. Well, see, it's not just the government either. There's a lot of your major corporations that's putting up money and funding these projects. I had an attorney that found out about me from Rhode Island to call me here this last year. He used to be a senior attorney for ARCO. I don't know if you know who
ARCO
he is.
Yeah, I know who ARCO is.
Okay, and he called me up. And he got fired from his job, and he's done a lot of investigating. He's really interested in our missing children because he's done a lot of research, and he's tracked down to holding points in Florida. And what they do is they take these children off the streets, and they take them to Florida, and then they ship them out to different parts of the country, Canada and wherever, for these black projects and experiment on them. And he's been trying to best open the operation on it. But he knows. I'm pretty sure.
Is there any way that you can get him in touch with me?
Sure.
Great, because I'd like to get him on the radio and find out what's going
on.
But
what they did, they devastated him. He worked for ARCO for a long time. He was a senior attorney there, and he got to seeing things that didn't work right at ARCO.
He saw something that was fishy.
Right, and money was going here and money was going there. That
and it didn't smell like evening in
right,
Paris.
Right, and he got to asking questions about it. But as a result of it, he lost his job. He lost his family. They forced him into bankruptcy, and he just about lost everything. And slowly but surely, he's bringing himself back up. And, I mean, because he asked too many questions, he found out too much.
Uh-huh. Well, if you'll put that gentleman in touch with me, we can do some things. Have you ever met anybody else in Victorville or in that area who have gone through the same experiences? Or similar experiences?
No, I haven't.
Nobody at all? You don't know anybody who's been kidnapped by humans and taken to military installations and many things? And you didn't see anybody in these installations that you ever met later that were in the same situation that you're in?
No.
None at all?
No. The only time I ever seen humans that looked like they might have been experimenting on, which they weren't really hurting them, was they were doing MRIs on them.
For those of you who don't understand what that is, MRIs are magnetic resonance imaging, where they can actually take pictures of sections, actually. If you were to take and put a human head on a table standing on its neck and cut it into 1/8-inch slabs, I mean, they can take these photographs of the brain in that manner, and the whole head or any portion of the body that they need to, and actually examine cell by cell and layer by layer every cell in the body if they want to. So you saw people undergoing the MRI examination,
right?
But you don't know what happened to those people.
No, I don't know what happened to
them. You never saw them again?
No.
Okay. Are they still monitoring you? Do they still follow you around? Do they still pick you up every once in a while?
I think it's kind of like they've shelved me now. Okay. Now,
what's the matter with these guys? Are they gay?
I don't know. But, you know, I'll tell you, I was taken to another facility there, and I'm not really sure where this one was. It was out of Ridgecrest, and this was during the daytime. I was taken by helicopter to a facility on a mountain.
Was it on the mountain or in the mountain?
On top of a mountain, but it went down into a mountain. We went down. The helicopter landed on this big cement area. Before we landed, it was like a door that slid back, and then it was like a little platform, and we landed on it, and the whole helicopter, after the blades quit twirling around, we went down with the helicopter. We went into this facility. They took me into a room. There was two men. Actually, they struggled with me in my house. I fought with them. They had, they acted like they didn't want to hurt me. You know, the guy kept reaching and grabbing for me, and I kept punching at him and kicking and screaming and fighting with him. And another guy came in, and he had an aerosol can, and he tells this guy, he says, "Stand back," and he squirts this little stuff in my face. It didn't knock me out, but it kind of made me real woozy, you know. Mm-hmm. It had a citrusy smell to it, and it was like orange being the dominant smell to it. They dragged me out to the helicopter, and off we went. Well, when we get into this facility, by the time we got there, I was kind of like out of it already. I mean, I was conscious again, or more aware.
Mm-hmm.
We go into this office, and there's a man in there waiting for me, and he says, "Hi, Diane, how are you?" And I look at him, and I won't tell you what he could do with his building, but he started laughing. He starts asking me questions that I didn't understand, because I thought these guys were associated with China Lake, which now I don't know who they are. But he started asking me questions like he didn't know what they were doing. He asked me, he says, "What have they been doing to you lately? Have you seen any more aliens or graves or what's been going on in your life?" And I wasn't answering. So I'm thinking, who are these people? I don't know. I don't know if it was two different groups of people or who they were.
Now, why do you think they ever picked you in the first place? I mean, your first experience was with what you believe to be extraterrestrials, is that correct?
No, humans.
Humans. Your first experience.
Yeah, see, I can go
and
back.
And then you begin to see what you perceive to be extraterrestrials, is that correct?
Just in my yard. I've seen the one consciously in my yard that I've told people about. I've seen a couple of different types of species, though, at the underground facility at China Lake. I've had what they call reptilian in my house. I've seen that. I've seen a reptilian at the underground facility at China Lake.
And what is this that you're talking about?
The reptilian is, he's different than a gray. He's, some people, I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, a reptilian is nothing more than a giant lizard type creature. He's been here before man. He's not from outer space. He's the one that I've seen. He's very dark in color. In fact, I nicknamed him the little black guy because I didn't know what to call him.
Mm-hmm.
He stands between 4 and 5 feet tall. very sharp teeth, big gold eyes. He growls. he's very nasty, little creature.
Hmm. And what were these guys doing?
The one that woke me up in my bedroom was going through the stuff in my dresser.
Going through the stuff in your dresser?
Yeah.
Got a lizard pervert running around in Victorville.
No, they these guys, for some reason, they remind me of like a raven. You know how like ravens like little shiny objects and little things, and they'll take them. These do the same thing. To this day, I still have jewelry missing. They'll come in and take one earring. Usually, they'll bring it back. My hairbrush, keys, stuff like that, but they'll bring them back.
Wow, this is incredible. Okay. If there's anybody else out there who's had these kinds of experiences, I'd like to know about it. Write me a letter, give Stan a call, something, so that we can contact you and make sure that somebody looks into it. We've got to find out what this is all about. We've got to find out where this is all coming from. Now, since what you describe is not the common carbon copy abductee experience, which most of them are. I mean, most of them, you can sit them down and talk to them, except for minor differences. The same thing has happened to everybody. They've seen the same creatures. They've seen the same symbols inside these spacecraft. The same things were done to them. And it's absolutely amazing how much the same it is for thousands of people. Now, folks, I'm not talking about 10 people. I'm not talking about a few hundred people. I'm talking about thousands of people across this country and around the world. And if they're making it up, I'll tell you, they're sure doing a damn good job. And when they don't even know each other, and when many of them, as the examples I gave you before, couldn't possibly know anything about any of this, then something's going on. And we have to find out what it is. We have to get to the bottom of it. Diane seems to be, well, from what you've described, your experiences, you seem to be pretty much together. I mean, how can... one thing that comes to my mind is, how could you see these people suffering in these cages and be repeatedly kidnapped and made to do things against your will and sit here so calm, cool, and collected?
Well, let me tell you, when I remembered the people in the cages, I didn't handle it very well. I broke down and I cried because I felt like I should have done something to help these people. Hmm. But then again, I had it explained to me, well, how could you? You were a victim too. You know, how was I going to help them? I became angry. I became very angry over it, but I guess you could call it a good angry. I don't like what they've done, and if there's any way that I can stop them or confront them about this, I would.
Well, Diane, your story is certainly amazing. I know a lot of people are out there shaking their head. I know that some people are out there saying, that they've had similar experiences. In any case, we all need to get to the bottom of this. We need to stop shaking our heads and laughing at these people because they believe that what they're telling us really happened. And if they believe it that strongly, and if they're all telling basically the same story, then we better look into it. And especially when they begin to tell stories involving humans along with extraterrestrials or instead of extraterrestrials, then to me that's even more serious. Thank you all for listening and being so patient with us. Good night, and God bless each and every one of you.
Did you hear that lonesome whippoorwill? He sounds too good to find. Permit I say, is wonderful, and I know somehow I could cry. Did you ever see a night so long when time goes behind the clouds, and I saw somehow. did you ever see a robin leave when leaves begin to die? That means he's lost the will to live, and I'm so lonesome I could cry. The silence of a falling star